More recently, he's kind of made his mark by being an author. He's written several books, several articles. He has an active blog. But as you read Seth Godin, one thing that you learn quickly is he has a really, really keen eye on culture. He is able to kind of put his thumb to the pulse and get a great read on kind of culture shifting, values changing, and how to kind of move and navigate in this ever-changing cultural complexity that we call life. And so he has a venue of being able to speak to leaders, business owners, career people, but also just regular everyday Joes to be able to encourage us on how we can live our life in midst of all this change in a more productive and effective way. Now, he has written several books, as I mentioned. They're all kind of similar in the fact that they're smaller kind of books, and they all kind of have catchy titles. They're usually pretty short, like Purple Cow is one of his books, Poke the Box, Tribes, Lynchpins, All Marketers Are Liars, which is kind of interesting since that was his career life as a marketer. But this little book called The Dip is one that I want to refer to for just a few moments. In this book, he talks about life for everybody. No matter who you are, life, your path, is going to have a dip. Every economy will turn and go south at some point. Every business is going to have slumps. Our abilities are going to sag. Relationships are going to sour. Just everybody has on your life path dips that you're going to have to navigate. You cannot get around it. And what he says in the book is as we come to these places where life dips, we don't have a choice of whether or not things are going to dip. That's going to happen. What we do have a choice in is how we process the dip. Because we can either like persevere and plow through and get to the other side of the dip, or we can quit. Now, it's interesting because he says in the book, quitting is not always a bad philosophy. For example, if you hit rock bottom, don't keep digging, right? Just go ahead and quit right there. He says if you're driving through a neighborhood and you pull down a street and you come to a cul-de-sac, he said, don't keep driving around the cul-de-sac hoping that you can get through to the other side. Just quit that route and go get you another route out of the neighborhood. So we all got to kind of decide, you know, when you go through life and you hit some low points, is this a dip? Or is it a cul-de-sac? If it's a cul-de-sac, maybe quit. But if it's a dip, press through. Persevere. Get to the other side. Because as he argues in the book, there are benefits to getting to the other side. There's an advantage that comes whenever you persevere and you wait it out and you get to the other side. He illustrates it this way. He says, like, if you're a home builder, and let's say the economy turns and goes in the wrong direction and people stop buying houses and building houses. Well, one of the things that will happen is there are people that are home builders that will decide, I need to do something else. And so there'll be a lot of people that'll just abandon the business. But then also you will learn as a home builder in this bad economy, how you can do things more efficiently, how you can work better, how you can work smarter, how your margins can increase. And so as you persevere through the dip in the economy, other people will bail out of the industry and you'll be on the other side with less competitors and a better edge in terms of how you build houses. So stay with it. Stay through the dip. But if it's a cul-de-sac, if it's a dead end, we have to learn how to quit. He said, here's the problem though. We're a culture of easy quitters. We break up by text. We can unsubscribe with one click. Swipe left, delete, we're done. And so we can be far too conditioned to just quit easy, when in fact, dips are there not to cause us to quit. They're there to encourage us to persevere. And if you persevere, there's something beneficial on the other side. So the bottom line of the book is persevere. Come on, keep on keeping on. Get to the other side of that dip and there'll be blessing, there'll be benefit for you. Now, all of us probably have heard at some point in time of like the patience of Job. You've heard this, right? The patience of Job. But have you ever heard of the perseverance of Jesus? That's what we want to talk about today, is the perseverance of Jesus. I want you to take your Bible, open with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're going to talk about the perseverance of Jesus. If you're new to us, we have been in a series, a teaching, where we've been looking at the life of Jesus. We call it binge-worthy. We've been taking Jesus' life in season by season. We looked at his birth years, his early years, his ministry years. And now we're going to take a brief look at Holy Week. So this is season 4 in our series. It's only a 2-episode season. It'll be this Sunday, then also Friday night at Good Friday. And so we're taking a look at the Holy Week of Jesus, the Passion Week. It's just 6 days. Starts with Palm Sunday. It concludes with the crucifixion on Friday. But during this 6-day period, we see Jesus experiencing a lot of ups and downs. There's the high point of praise as Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem and people are lining the streets singing, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And so there's this tremendous high. But hours later, Jesus is going to have to go to the temple. He will purge it of injustice and he will meet up with some hostile religious haters and make a very difficult moment for Jesus. Highs, lows, highs, dips. There's also a time when Jesus has an incredible, intimate moment with some of his followers, but that's followed by the dip of betrayal. So the rhythm and the flow of Jesus' Holy Week, Passion Week, is up and down, up and down. There's a lot of dips along the path for Jesus during Holy Week, and he demonstrates for us a level of perseverance that is encouraging to see. In fact, I would say to us, as we're even at the beginning of this message, there's a lot of things that we want to emulate about Jesus. And there's a lot of things we get excited about Jesus. And so we want to take on the joy and the peace and the power and all those kind of things. But I'm telling you, one of the greatest virtues of Jesus that you could own is the perseverance of Jesus. The ability of Jesus to just see things through. Because here he is at Holy Week. He's down to the finish line. And things are getting difficult and things are getting tough. And Jesus could have bailed. Jesus could have called for rescue. But instead, he perseveres and he gets redemption over the finish line. He sees things through. Now, in anticipation of the challenge of Holy Week, the Gospels give us a picture of how determined Jesus was, the perseverance of Jesus. Here's a glimpse into it. Look at the screen, Luke 9:51. It says, when it came close to the time for his ascension, we're down near that moment of Jesus returning back to heaven, he gathered up his courage and he steeled himself for the journey to Jerusalem. Now, that kind of perseverance was necessary because Christ was fully aware of the dip that he was about to go through. He explained it to his disciples in Luke 18 when he said, "Listen, we're going to Jerusalem where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He'll be handed over to the Romans and he will be mocked and treated shamefully, be spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him, but on the third day he will rise again." You talk about a dip. I mean, he's about to hit the ultimate low in life. And yet he faces it with this incredible determination and perseverance. And so we're encouraged to look, to watch, to learn from Jesus today. In the 12th chapter of John, this is Monday of Passion Week, he sits down with his disciples and he kind of casts a vision for what's about to happen. He frames up this dip that they're about to walk through in an incredible way. Jesus replied, he's speaking to a group of his followers, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Now look how he's framing the dip that he's about to go through. He's acknowledging that this is not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult, but he already sees to the other side of the dip. If I persevere and I go through this, if I walk through this death, if I persevere, on the other side is this harvest of plentiful new lives. Verse 25, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now look at verse 27. Lest we think Jesus is not in touch with his emotions and the reality of what he's about to walk through. Look what it says. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Guys, make no mistake about this. This dip is going to be hard. My soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. Take note of that. Instead of finding a way of escape, instead of Jesus asking for divine rescue, instead of stopping short in his mission of redemption, Jesus saw his messianic responsibility all the way through. He didn't quit. He didn't stop short. And there is a lot, just by observing Jesus during Holy Week, there's a lot to learn about perseverance. We can watch and learn a lot. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, where the author of Hebrews tells us, watch this, and let us run with endurance, perseverance, the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. He persevered the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of the hostility he endured, all from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. So today, let's get our eyes on Jesus, huh? Let's put our eyes on Jesus and let's learn a little bit from him on how we can persevere through the dips in life. If you're a note taker, take a few notes here as we kind of comment on some of the things that I think will help us from the life of Jesus. Here is one. When you think about the dips that you go through, even the best of people experience dips. All right? You don't get much better in terms of people than Jesus. And he experienced dips. We experience dips too. I know that sounds awfully simple, but it's important to remember, because many of us quickly forget that. You go on social media and you look how everybody else is living their life and you think to yourself, nobody experiences dips but me. Everybody else is living the good life. They're like on permanent vacation. Look at them. And we assume everybody else has got the good life and our life dips. But the reality is everybody's life dips. Even the best of people will experience dips. Jesus says in verse 23, my time has come. I mean, this dip has arrived. We can't avoid them. Now, sometimes the Bible calls them valleys. Sometimes it calls them trials. But we're all going to have these low points in life. I love this reminder from 1 Peter 4:12. It says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. It's going to happen. The best of people and the best of situations are going to dip. The best companies are going to dip. The best teams are going to dip. The best students are going to dip. The best marriages are going to dip. It happens. I was humored this week when I read that there was a couple in America that experienced their 82nd anniversary this past week. He's 103, she's 100, and they had their 82nd anniversary this past week. The reporter asked a question to the lady. They said, "Well, how'd y'all meet?" She goes, "I don't even know. I can't remember." Come on, man, 82 years. I can't remember that far back. But they said, "Well, you know, what's the secret sauce?" And this was, I thought, so important. She said, "Well, here's one thing. Every marriage is going to have its patches, its rough patches. And you just have to be determined to get through them." And then she said, and rule number one is when you're going through a rough patch, be nice. That's pretty good. Just be nice, right? So we're all going to have these moments. We're all going to have these low spots. We're going to have to navigate them. Even the best of people are going to have dips. It's inevitable, all right? Here's a second observation for us. Dips can have a positive impact on our life. Dips can have a positive impact on our life. That is the message of this little book, The Dip. It does lead to a competitive advantage. And by the way, if you are a guest today, if you have not filled out your "Hey, I'm here" card, do that or go online, you know, text us and let us know. I'd love to send you a copy of The Dip. If you're a guest, I want to send you as an Easter gift a copy of The Dip. If you're a member and a regular here, buy your own. All right? But if you're a guest, I want to give you this just to encourage you to be focused on the positive things that God can do as you walk through a rough time in life. Look how Jesus defined the positive impacts of his dip. Verse 24, he says, lives are going to be changed. If he goes through this dip, if he lays down his life, lives are going to be changed, which, by the way, is us. And he says the Father, verse 28, will be glorified. So Jesus has an eye to the positive impact of what he's about to go through. And so with determination and perseverance, he puts his eyes on the prize and he presses through. And I'm telling you, that's just what we have to have. We've got to have that determination and resolve that we will get through this. And if we do, God will impact our life positively. One of my favorite inspirational personalities, Tony Dungy. He's a former head coach in the NFL. He played in the NFL, but he's more known as being a coach. He took over two losing franchises, the Indianapolis Colts and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he turned both of those into winners. In fact, both of those, because of his leadership, eventually win Super Bowls. But when Tony Dungy arrived in Tampa, they were anything but a winner. In fact, if you're an NFL fan, you know that Tampa Bay was just synonymous with being a loser. I mean, they even had loser uniforms, right? They had those creamsicle orange uniforms that they would wear. Horrible. And so Tony talks about in his autobiography about just the entire culture change that had to happen. And here's how he said, here's how we're going to have to change this culture. Listen to what he said. He said, we're going to have to learn to do the right things over and over and over and not even be focused on winning. Just do the right things over and over and over. And here's what he said. Our perseverance will lead us to the wins. The wins will come because we have a persevering spirit to do the right things day after day after day after day after day. When we do that, the wins will come. Jesus, when he sat down with his disciples a second time during Holy Week, Monday, he tells them, unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it doesn't bring forth fruit. And I'm telling you, I'm going to go through this and it's going to be fruitful. Then we come to Thursday on Holy Week. Jesus has another conversation with his disciples. This one's recorded in John 15. And at this point, Jesus uses the analogy of pruning to talk about persevering. In verse 2 of chapter 15, Jesus uses this imagery of pruning and says he cuts off. He's talking about the vine dresser, a gardener, cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. Now, if you're watching someone prune something and you don't have the wisdom of the gardener, it looks like an act of insanity. That someone would take an axe to a fruitful plant and just start cutting off its limb. What are you doing? It looks like an act of insanity. And certainly for the plant, it's thinking, what? Why are you cutting off my branches? Why are you doing this to me? It's got to feel like crazy, right? But there is a wisdom to it. The gardener knows by removing those branches, it's causing a concentrated flow of the sap to go into limited places where it will explode with a new season of fruitfulness. And so what looks crazy is actually incredibly wise as the gardener is taking that plant through a process that's going to lead it to be more productive. Listen, when you start walking through the low seasons of life, you've got to remind yourself that God hasn't gone cray-cray. God knows what he's doing, and he's walking us along a pathway and a process, and he's even leading us through low points because he knows in the low points he can prune us and ready us for a new season of fruitfulness. And there has to be a recognition. There has to be a thoughtfulness on our part. And if there's not, what'll happen is you'll quit. You'll get in that low spot. This is crazy. Why am I here? And you just quit. But could I beg you not to? Men, could I beg you not to quit? Your wives and your kids are depending on you. Don't quit. Don't quit whenever God's walking you through a process and he's bringing you to the... You never know when you're right there to the other side. You just never know. Don't quit. Here's a third thing we learn about these dips and persevering when we look to Jesus. Dips are not permanent. Hallelujah. They're not permanent. Reminder here, this is Holy Week, 6 days. It's not Holy 365. It's not Holy Decade Batman, right? Come on. It's Holy Week. What a great reminder that these things don't last forever. The Apostle Paul framed this up really well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Why don't you say this one with me? Let's say this one together. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Yep. Won't last forever. It's not permanent. Sometimes we just got to remind ourselves when we're in it, it's not permanent. Because when you are in a dip, you can feel desperate and never ending. And you got to remind your soul, it's not permanent. When we were pastoring in Colorado, the county that we were in, Douglas County, experienced something that they'd never experienced before. It was very tragic. The public school system had 12 teenage suicides in 8 weeks. And the school literally closed because they could not figure out what was going on. They closed the school. They did another thing that was unprecedented. They invited pastors, social workers in the community to come together to attend kind of a training and to help them in kind of shepherding their students through this very difficult time. And at the training, the person who was leading the training said something that I've never forgotten. She said, as we work with people who have gone through suicide attempts, and we monitor the circumstances of people who have committed suicide, here is what we have observed. She said 61% of the time, in other words, more than half the time, whatever circumstance was driving that person to such desperation that they took that kind of a desperate measure in their life, what we found, 61% of the time, that desperate situation resolves within 2 weeks. If they just could have held on for just a couple of more days, the thing that just overwhelmed them would just be gone. Dips are not permanent. Here's the fourth, the final observation. Dips refine our dependency on God. Dips refine our dependency on God. Even though Jesus had incredible trust in Father God, unprecedented trust, the Bible says he learned obedience and he cultivated greater dependency by what he walked through. And so we see Jesus expressing with extraordinary dependency a prayer of desperation in the middle, the most severe part of the dip. We see Jesus, right, bow a knee and pray and ask Father God, God, if there's any way, if there's any way that this dip can be taken from me, please, I'm asking. But if there is no other way, I'll trust your will, your way, not my own. That's refined trust. Because, guys, I don't know anybody who likes going through dips. I don't know anybody who hits a low point in life and just thinks, yippee. But those moments refine our capacity to trust the Lord, to lean in and depend on him. Because God hasn't forsaken us in those moments. No, not at all. In fact, his promise is that he will walk with us through every valley of life. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. And Jesus pledged to us, I will never leave you and never forsake you. And these dip moments, as they happen in our life, I mean, they happen to the best of us. They happen to the best of people, the best of circumstances. They happen. And when they do, if we can more look at that, this is an opportunity. It's an invitation for my trust to be refined so that I can have a tendency toward dependency. I want my heart through every step of this to just lean on the Lord and depend on the Lord and know that God is good and he is for me and he's shaping me and he's working in me and he's going to bring me to the other side. And come on, my victory will unfold. And God will have his will and God will have his way. And God forbid, if my life should end in this moment, it's not over. My story is not over. My beginning is just beginning. And my victory is unfolding. And so there's no reason for us to do anything other but just trust the Lord when you're going through that dip. Refine your dependency and your trust. Because he's good. And he's going to get you through.